The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Justin Freed, and I'm joined, as always, by my man, Mike Luciano. Mike, we are a day away from the 2024 NFL Draft. How are you feeling today, buddy?
Extremely tired. I don't know if you can see the bags under my eyes that are almost keeping them shut right now because of how up late I was finalizing my mock draft and my position rankings and my big board. It was a tough undertaking. Not to act like I just came back from like a POW camp, but
you look like you've been to war, man.
I've seen things, man. Like it's a Rutger Hauer and Blade Runner, man. But
I mean, once you start projecting seventh round picks, like that's I don't
not just
you.
Projecting second round picks, but seventh round picks. But I'm like, I don't know, should I take this guy in the seventh round of this? Like really having debates. Dude, over
why even do that to yourself, man?
Yeah, I mean, I started it, and I said I was going to do it, so I'm a man of my word, if nothing else. So you guys are here, though, not necessarily for the NFL mock draft. You're here for the Jets mock draft, so we'll get you all of our New York Jets projections from both of our respective mock drafts. We'll also get into one player who is no longer on the Jets. We'll just address very briefly, excuse me, because we got to talk about Zach Wilson getting traded finally, so... Before we get into any of that, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all those sites, and we're on YouTube at The Jet Press. If you want to support the show, you can do that by liking the stream, by leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts. Both of those things are extremely helpful. If you do want to help the show, just really boost up that algorithm. That'll be a good way to do it. But if you're here for just the show, then let's give you some show because
real quick. Cheap plug. I want to plug the draft interviews we've done because, like you said,
yes,
you've been hard at work. We've been hard at work in this pre-draft process. We have a couple of draft interviews up on the Jet Press YouTube channel right now with Donovan Jennings, an offensive lineman from USF, Temple linebacker Evandy Rigby. We have another one coming up. Either I think it should be going up tomorrow morning with Sudi Cortland, wide receiver, Cole Burgess. That's my alma mater. There's a legit chance that he is drafted. So check those out. We also have a few interviews that have gone up on the Stacking the Box YouTube channel, which is fan side. It's bigger, you know, YouTube channel. I did a couple with A.J. Barner, tight end for Michigan, Chris Jenkins, the son of the Jets legend, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle for Michigan, another defensive tackle prospect, Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State. Mike did a couple with, you did Roman Wilson.
Roman Wilson. I did Austin McNamara, who is maybe the best punter in this draft, over from Texas Tech. And recently, Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. So yeah. A couple of top 50 guys in there. So yeah. Pretty good interviews, I got to say. Roman especially, he was great.
I will shout out Chris Jenkins because that dude, genuinely one of the coolest dudes I've talked to. Like I've said to this point, I think my favorite interview I've ever done was with Ty Johnson, former Jets running back, just an awesome human being. Chris Jenkins has given him a run for his money because that dude was amazing to talk to. So if you want to check those out, it's live on the Stacking Box YouTube channel right now. Couple up on the Jet Press YouTube channel, but not Mike. Let's talk about Zach Wilson. Let's talk about this trade.
You mean Denver Broncos quarterback Zach Wilson? Because
yep, he'll be one.
maybe nominally, yes. That's where he is right now. Denver will probably draft a quarterback at some point in the 2024 NFL draft, and that'll be who they'll probably roll into the future with. But for right now, Zach Wilson is a Bronco. So the Jets get a sixth-round pick from Denver, and they give up Zach and a seventh, which is kind of code for nobody wanted him. I mean, this is the standard offer you get when – all right, fine, just take this guy. I'm surprised they were able to get anything at this point. I mean, it didn't really seem like there were a lot of places for him to go either because there's established starters all across the league, and then there are a lot of backup quarterback spots that got filled. I mean, look at Arizona with Desmond Ridder, Seattle with Sam Howell, Gardner Minshew goes over to the Raiders, Joe Flacco to Indianapolis. Like, there's a lot of guys who said, we need a good backup quarterback, and none of them went for Zach Wilson. Maybe even Pittsburgh. Nope, they got Justin Fields. So it seemed like this was really the only spot Zach Wilson can go where he could at least fight for a backup job. I don't know if he'll win it. I still think Jared Stidham is probably a better quarterback, which that's not really a very encouraging statement to make. But
it's true.
They got rid of him. I'm not really too melancholy about it. I wasn't melancholy about Darnold either, just because we had the position to take a quarterback at number two. I wonder how that turned out. But Darnold, I'm sadder that he didn't work out, because there was more of an air of organizational incompetence that just permeated those Jets teams. I've seen this a lot. Oh, the Jets failed XYZ. They failed. Darnold, I'll listen to, because Sam Darnold didn't have anybody for most of his Jets career. He had a defensive head coach and Todd Bowles, and then he had Adam Gase, who knew even less about how to be a good head coach, because Bowles actually looks like he's doing an okay job in Tampa. So I'll give you that with Darnold. Wilson is not. Wilson failed the Jets, if anything.
Yeah,
because they had skill position players. They had their version of the offense that everybody runs in the NFL, and seemingly the only one that didn't work. I wonder why that didn't work. And then they even gave him a vote of confidence. We'll make you the backup quarterback. That's how much they believed in him. They believed in Zach Wilson. They really did. They gave him every chance. They didn't have a great offensive line. It wasn't because they were fucking with Zach or they wanted him to struggle. Like,
Everyone got hurt.
Imagine Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is a guy who has amazing arm talent, and he just can't play quarterback because of everything else. He can't process. He can't stay in the pocket. It doesn't mean he's a bad person, but you got to just let go of this guy. I'm happy he's gone. Plus for him too. I mean,
yes,
we talk about this a lot from the mental aspect of sports. Like, it couldn't have been good for him. He didn't want to be there. His teammates didn't like him. The team didn't want him there. Finally, it seems like all parties got something somewhat amiable here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I hate even to like break it down like a black and white situation, like the Jets failed Zach Wilson or Zach Wilson failed the Jets, because ultimately they failed each other. Like I don't think player development, specifically quarterback development in the NFL, is a black and white situation. There are infinite variables that go into it. I don't think that the Jets particularly surrounded Zach Wilson with the best situation that he could have been put in. Could it have been a much worse situation? Yes, absolutely. And was Zach Wilson, like, is that an excuse for Zach Wilson being one of the historically worst quarterbacks of the last 20, 30 years? No. I think a lot of quarterbacks drafted in, you know, the top five have been put in worse situations than the situation that Zach Wilson was put in. He was handed a top five defense at a certain point. He got a legitimate wide receiver one in Garrett Wilson, a legitimate top 3 to 5 running back in Breece Hall. Tyler Conklin's a good player as well. I thought that Mike LaFleur, despite what some Jets fans think, did an admirable job with the quarterback play that he had and with the offensive supporting cast that he had. And I think
Looked okay this year with him.
I was about to say, I think he did a pretty good job with the Rams this year. I know he wasn't calling plays, but he has a lot of influence in an offense, and I think he did a very good job with that. Zach Wilson was essentially the reason that Mike LaFleur was fired. If you want to say the Jets failed and whatever by replacing him with Nathaniel Hackett, yeah, I agree. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett is a very good offensive coordinator, but they bent over backwards to please this guy. He had an offensive coordinator who at least showed promise as a first-time play caller, and Wilson didn't like him because, from his perspective, what we know, he didn't get along with him personally. Whether he was coached too hard, whatever it was, their personalities did not mesh. Zach Wilson didn't like him, so they're like, all right, we're going to try and make this thing work with Zach. We're going to get Mike LaFleur out of here. You know, it didn't work out, whatever. Obviously, it did not work out with Zach Wilson either. I don't particularly think that he's going to have a successful NFL career going forward. We didn't see anything from his time with the Jets that makes me think that he can be a longstanding quarterback in this league. Like you said, Mike, he has the physical talent. He just, everything else is not there mentally. I think definitely his confidence was shot on numerous occasions with the Jets. And I also think, like, it's good for him.
He did some of it to himself. I didn't let the defense down. I mean, that was him. So,
and I think by the part, and look, this part's going to be speculation on my part. And I don't want to, like, this isn't me trying to dog on a kid, right? That's not what I'm, a kid, again, probably about the same age as me. I'm not trying to dog on anybody, right? And that's not my point here. But I think it's pretty clear that when Wilson was traded, like, I think the reaction or lack thereof from his former teammates speaks volumes.
Nobody said anything.
Nobody said the only thing anybody said was DJ Reed tweeting out, "Hey, should I switch to number two now?" Like that's what he said.
It's so warm, and DJ Reed's right. Like, "Can I get that?"
Of course, you know, DJ Reed did later double back and it's like, "That's not what I meant."
Yeah, because
I am sure he didn't mean that, but not a single player has said anything about Zach Wilson leaving. When Michael Carter was released, the locker room was revolting. Justin Hardy, everybody who's been gone this offseason, you have players tweeting out about it. I don't think that Zach Wilson had many friends in that locker room by the end of his tenure. Again, that does not mean that Zach Wilson is a bad person. That's not what I'm saying. I think it's a combination of factors. One, I think his play, unfortunately, was not very good. And I think a lot of players, a lot of teammates were very frustrated, especially ones that had been there for 2-3 years who had seen him get opportunity after opportunity and continue to fail. I think that was part of it. And I think another part of it was, I don't think players liked the way he handled the situation late in the year where, you know, quitting on the team, whatever you want to call it. Like, I get it from his perspective because obviously the Jets and him kind of agreed to a trade. But I don't think by the end of his tenure, he had many fans in that locker room. So I don't think the players were particularly upset to see him leave. I definitely don't think the fans are particularly upset to see him leave. I'm happy that Zach Wilson has an opportunity now with the Broncos to at least earn a roster spot, earn a backup quarterback job. I don't know if he will, but yeah, this was inevitable. And the first thing you said, Mike, they got more than I expected. Like, they moved up 50 spots in a draft and did obviously in the 6th and 7th round, but they moved up over 50 spots. I think it was 53 spots in the draft and didn't have to pay his entire salary. That's a win. Like, that, given what we had kind of come to expect from this situation, that's a win. I was expecting either the Jets to just outright release Zach Wilson, or if they got anything,
that's what I was doing. They're just going to eat the money and go, all right, we lost that one.
Or if they got anything, 2025 conditional pick, something like that. Hey, you get a 2025 conditional 7th if he makes the team. That's what where my mind was at, right? That's what I was thinking. Instead, they moved up 50 spots. They traded away the second to last pick in the entire draft and got a middle of the pack 6th round pick. That's not nothing. And they saved $2.5 million in the process, which that could be money used to sign a guy like Donovan Smith or Connor McGovern or, hell, David Bakhtiari. Like, that's not insignificant money at all. That covers the cap hit of Tyrod Taylor this year. That's a win. That's a win for the Jets. I hesitate to say it's a win for Joe Douglas because obviously Joe Douglas is the one who drafted Zach Wilson. But if we're just treating him as a dead asset, they got more than I expected for him. And yeah, I'm not going to listen to any argument that's like the Jets completely failed Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson is just a bad quarterback. Obviously, his development was stunted by a not perfect situation, but it was definitely a better situation than a lot of rookie quarterbacks go into.
You know who went into a bad situation? CJ Stroud. How do you do?
Well,
number two pick. How do you do?
Yeah, I would say that his supporting cast wasn't awful, though. Like it was on paper, should have been bad, but guys.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. If you pick a guy number two overall, you got to be able to absorb some stuff. I mean, he couldn't absorb any of it.
There's a ton of examples of quarterbacks going to bad teams and still succeeding. Like that is 100% a thing that happens.
I'm also sick of people like, oh, watch Sean Payton kill the Denver. Like, what is Sean Payton? I know, is a really good quarterback guy, but you know why a lot of his quarterbacks have good numbers? Because he values guys who can process quick and get it out quick. That was the thing Zach struggled with the most.
But here's the thing. Is Sean Payton a QB guru? Who has he developed?
He's good in the sense of that he could take a lot of marginal quarterbacks. Like, obviously, Breeze is the big, because Breeze wasn't that good in San Diego as good as he was in
the world. He didn't make Drew Breeze, you know?
I know he didn't make Drew Breeze, but I think that what the post-Breeze time has shown is even if you have, like, an average quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, that weird spot where Simeon filled it, like, guys that aren't particularly amazing, like, there's still a level of baseline statistical competency that he gets out of. Like, Russ was terrible. Russ was so bad, they took on a bajillion dollars in dead cap, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, what, he have, like, 26 touchdowns and 8 picks? Like, his scheme just works to get quarterbacks good numbers. And people are like, oh, that'll happen with Zach Wilson. I'm like, nope. Because some of those other guys could at least get the ball out quick. He couldn't.
Correct. Sean Payton couldn't develop Ian Book. Right? There's a reason for that.
Nobody could develop Ian Book.
Exactly, Mike. That's my point. I don't know if anybody can develop 2024 Zach Wilson. You give Sean Payton, you put rookie Zach Wilson in a situation, yeah, maybe he could develop. But we have 3 years of tape on this guy, and he's had 3 years to develop. And
around him.
Like this past year's Jets roster was not bad. Like, it genuinely was not bad. They had Breece Hall. They had Garrett Wilson. The offensive coaching stunk. The biggest issue was the offensive line was just an injury-riddled mess. It was destroyed by the end of it, by the end of the season. But he also had a top-five defense in the league. How many young quarterbacks can say they have a top-five defense? Not many. And a great special teams group. Like, again, no one is saying that it was a perfect situation for Zach Wilson, but it was definitely not the worst possible situation for him. And it was definitely a better situation than Sam Darnold was ever given. And Sam Darnold was significantly better than Zach Wilson. So there you go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So now that Zach Wilson, the era is, by the grace of God, over, finally, Zach Wilson truthers, by the way, follow at Broncos. Get out of, I don't want to hear, see any of you under Jets stuff anymore.
Yeah. Really, really quick, we got James Rodriguez in chat. Just, you know, get to some messages in chat if you guys have anything to say. You know, always let us know. Let's talk Jets. James,
feel free to critique our mock drafts later and please say how great mine is and how bad Justin's is. It'll be great.
You could do the opposite as well, you know, depending on what you think.
Yeah, now, why do that? That's no fun.
James says, Zach Wilson was a total bust. The Jets didn't fail Zach Wilson. He failed himself more than anyone. I agree. I think that Zach Wilson was just overdrafted. I think that's what it came down to, is that he was overdrafted.
Really quick, I got to interject too. Because this has been a pet peeve of mine for a while. He was not picked because of the pro day.
No, obviously not, of course.
They were in on him for months. They just screwed up. Like every time I see that.
Yes, Zach Wilson was the consensus QB2 around the league. Sometimes the league misses. Sometimes
it's also ruined pro days. Did you see every good pro day this year? They're like, oh, it's a new Zach Wilson again. Like that, he ruined pro days for everybody.
But the thing is, pro days never mattered. Pro days don't really matter anyway. So it's like,
I remember talking to a guy once when I was at the Senior Bowl who had been scouting for like over 30 years. He goes, I know that he didn't work out, but in 30 years at any position to this day, the best workout and pro day I've ever seen was Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, dude was physically
by a mile. Like they don't mean much.
They really help the stock of people who are physically and athletically gifted. Zach Wilson is physically gifted. Jamarcus Russell was physically gifted.
But and that until he let himself go when he got to 300 pounds. Sure. But
that doesn't mean you can play quarterback. You know, it does not mean you can play quarterback at the NFL level.
So moving on to mock draft time. Sound the sirens.
There we go.
The trumpets are blaring. It is mock draft time. So the Jets, again, in kind of a precarious position, or at least a unique position, because they have a number 10 pick, which for a contender is a really impressive asset to have. But they also don't have a second round pick because of Aaron Rodgers, who played 4 snaps, is now 40, Achilles injury, you know the deal. I don't need to go and give you chapter and verse about that nightmare year that we just went through. So let's turn our eyes to the future. And let's look at the number 10 overall pick, because me and Justin both have made dueling mock drafts.
Yes, sir.
For the Jets. Justin, would you like to go with your selection first of who you think the Jets are going to end up taking at number 10?
I would love to. And what I'm going to do here, I'm going to announce this. I want to announce this draft style, right? So I'm going to, you know, drum roll, whatever, like metaphorical drum roll or whatever.
Yes.
I'm not
doing that every time, though. And I don't have a soundboard.
I could do that every time for you.
That'd be 14 times. I'm not doing that.
I think it's fun. Anyway, with the 10th overall pick in the 2024, The 2024, the Jet Press mock draft. The New York Jets select Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington.
Right before the show. Okay.
You were right. I wasn't going to tell you. Disclaimer, Mike and I did not share our picks, although I guess we each know each other's first round pick.
I tried really hard to guess, but he wouldn't give me any. So
with the 10th pick, the Jets select Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. This was an interesting pick. And I think it's so hard to predict where the Jets are going to go in the first round because I don't know if they're going to trade up. I don't know if they're going to trade down. I think both are very much on the table. Much like Mike, I pulled this up on my phone. This is very professional. I also did like a first round mock that I might release tomorrow. Odunze was still on the board at 10. And I just could not have the Jets passing him in that situation. I had Alt off the board to the Titans at 7. J.C. Latham went to the Bears at 9, which I know is going to be very high for a lot of people.
Very high for me. I have him at like the 24 of the Cowboys.
Right. But this was a very ideal situation for the Jets because you had Odunze still on the board. You had Olu Fashanu from Penn State still on the board. You had Brock Bowers, of course, still on the board. I don't believe the Bowers hype. I don't believe the smoke. I don't think the Jets would take Bowers over Odunze. I don't even think they'd take him over an offensive lineman. I think that they would maybe consider him in a trade down. That's where I'm feeling with Bowers right now. I don't think he's going to be the pick at 10. Rome Odunze is an immediate starting wide receiver. You combine him with Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. I think that might be the best wide receiver trio in the entire NFL. Mike Williams, of course, on a one-year deal. He's coming off a torn ACL. Odunze can not only contribute year one, but he is pretty much your Mike Williams replacement immediately on the roster. I know we're talking about a replacement for a guy who hasn't even played a game with the Jets yet, but you have to be thinking of that for a guy coming off, you know, a torn ACL, pretty extensive injury history. and is only on a 1-year deal. Odunze and Garrett Wilson could dominate, like legitimately dominate the AFC East as one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver duo in the NFL for the next 10 years. Incredible player. I think I have him slightly below Neighbors as like my wide receiver 3, but in a normal year, Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze are probably all wide receiver 1s. It's just a stacked wide receiver class. The Jets get lucky. He falls to 10. I like him more than Bowers. I think the Jets would like him more than Bowers as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they look to trade up to 8 to get him, because I think the Falcons are a very, very logical team to trade down. Most people think that they're going to go with a defensive player. I'm not sure there's another defensive player taken in the top 10. So if they want to fall to 10, they could probably still get the same guy there that they wanted to get at 8. So I think it's very possible that if Odunze is still there at 8, the Jets move up to prevent either the Bears from taking him or another team from trading up and taking him. I just don't think it's going to be Bowers. I think the Jets do that. The other possibility I'll throw out there, I think it's very possible the Jets, of course, trade down. A team that makes a ton of sense to me, the New Orleans Saints. The Saints desperately need offensive tackle help. And today, James Hurst just retired. James Hurst is a very solid swing tackle. It only adds to their need there. I think we're going to see a run on tackles between like 7 and 15. The Saints pick at 14. Would not be surprised at all if they want to move up to 10 and try and get ahead of that run. Jets make sense. I don't know.
The problem, though, is the Saints have a first and a second and then no third or fourth, and they're – need to stockpile picks because they're $90 billion over the cap every year.
They desperately need offensive line help, though. It's going to depend on what, like, because at least in my mock, right, I had between 7 and 14, 5 different offensive tackles going. I think we could see something very similar in the draft. Alt, I think, is definitely going to go within that range. I mean, Titans are probably the floor for Joe Alt. Guys like Latham, Mims, Fashanu, all of those guys could go in that order. And I just think Fuaga as well. I think the Saints are a very logical team to trade up. But in this scenario, Jets take Roman Odunze at 10. That's my pick. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm a big fan of Odunze. It's hard not to be. Maybe the safest of – well, Harrison is in his own – Marvin Harrison's in his own tier. But when you compare him to Neighbors, like, I think he's a safer pick than Neighbors. I think he's got better hands than Neighbors. I think he probably comes from a more NFL-ready scheme than Neighbors, who was kind of – little Mickey Mouse, little limited route tree. I like Odunze a lot. The problem is, maybe this is just me, even though I would take a quarterback if I was the Giants, I don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback at 6.
I agree.
And I think if they don't, I think that's prime Neighbors Odunze territory. Because assuming the order stays where it is, Arizona's at 4. I feel like they're the Marvin Harrison front runners. Chargers are at 5. They better take a freaking wide receiver.
Dude, I don't know. I think they could take a tackle. There's a lot of people that they're going to take a tackle.
Look at their receivers. Do you know who their starting receivers are off the top of your head? They're starting 11 personnel receivers.
Josh Palmer. Hold on. Oh, Quentin Johnston, obviously. And, well, 11 personnel. So we got to, well, they're two tight ends. They got, who's their other wide receiver?
My point exactly.
I know
it's Darius Davis.
Who is it?
Darius Davis.
Oh, Darius Davis, the returner. Yeah, he's a return guy too. And they have
Sidney. Yeah, he's the number 3 guard. So they better get one. But
they'll do Disley and Hurst though. They'll have, and they have Donald Parham too.
Oh, and Greg Roman's their coordinator. God, Herbert's good. That was a horrible hire. They're gonna suck. I feel bad, so bad for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Greg Roman's. They don't even need a third receiver. They're gonna play 3 receivers.
They're on the option, but yeah. Regardless, the Chargers still look like a receiver team at 5, and then the Giants, if they don't go quarterback, feel like they're gonna be like a Neighbors of Dunze guy at 6. So I would love Odunze, but also if they don't pick him to the Bears at 9, maybe they could grab him. A lot of lucky bounces need to happen for Odunze to land with the Jets. So I don't think that that's going to happen as much as I would like it.
You think they would trade up?
If they had a second, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
I feel like without it, then like Joe Douglas does still like keeping draft picks a lot. Like, maybe he doesn't like having a ton of, we've seen him before where he doesn't like a ton of 6th and 7th, and you kind of package them to move up in a middle round a little bit. But I think it'll be tough too, especially when this is a good chance to add depth. If you just go all in and move up like 2 spots, like,
I don't know if that's a bold prediction, but I think the Jets will absolutely trade up at least once in this draft. I don't know if that's a bold prediction. I don't think they make 7 picks. I don't think there are 7 roster spots available for rookies on this roster. I think they want to kind of make it more concise, you know, get 4 or 5 players that you really like. I think that's what the Jets are more likely to do. I don't know if it's in the first round, but I do think they trade up at some point at least once.
Well, let's just say they stick at 10 and Odunze's gone.
All right.
I am believing the hype because I think they're going to take Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, with the number 10 pick, a guy who, if you're looking for just a safe prospect, we mentioned this before, we don't know how good he's going to be, but if you were going to pick like two or three guys in this draft and you were going to say, who has no chance of being bad? I feel like Brock Bowers is one of those guys. Yeah. Maybe a little smaller than most tight ends, but freaky athleticism, great hands, wide receiver-like route runner in a tight end package. If he wanted to, he could just be a slot receiver.
Yeah.
If you wanted to convert, he's that good as a route runner. Plus, if you need him to block, I mean, Georgia had a couple thousand-yard rushers behind him. He had something to do with that. He can block if he needs. He's not going to be Gronk ever, but I don't think certainly it's not like he's just this H-back who can't block. So I think Bowers is going to be – because also gives you just so much flexibility. He could be a Tyler Conklin replacement. He could be a bigger slot guy. You could do a lot more two tight end stuff. He's really just an offensive chess piece. Mm-hmm. And with Aaron Rodgers getting in the ball, like Zach Wilson, I honestly, if Zach Wilson was still the quarterback and they were still trying to make him work, I don't know if I would have loved this pick just because I don't think Wilson would get that much use out of him. I mean, Aaron Rodgers throwing to this guy who's never going to be double covered ever because of Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams. I mean, the possibilities in my mind, I don't know about Nathaniel Hackett's mind, but in my mind, I'm just having so much fun devising ways to get Brock Bowers on the field.
I really like Bowers. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to be very good in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever be a top 3 to 5 tight end. And because I don't know that, and because I'm not confident in saying that, that's why I wouldn't prefer to take him at 10. I'll be happy if the Jets take him at 10. I won't be upset. I don't think he's necessarily a need, but I think he absolutely fills the role of an additional offensive playmaker, which the Jets absolutely need. Right now, your starting offense is looking more like Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, if he's healthy, Alan Lazard, Tyler Conklin, Breece Hall. If you replace Alan Lazard with another offensive playmaker, whether that's a receiver, whether it's Brock Bowers, you're cooking. Like that's a really good skill group. And so it doesn't need to be Odunze. I would much prefer Odunze if he's available, obviously. So if Odunze was available at 10, are you taking him over Bowers?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I would have been like, what's going on here if you're not taking
it? But I will say this. On my big board, Bowers is higher than Odunze.
Ooh, that's a take. I don't agree with that.
I feel like the Jets need a wide receiver more than a tight end.
Yeah.
Just in a vacuum. But I feel like Bowers is one of those guys where he is, especially in a weak tight end class. Like, who's tight end two in this class? Nobody knows.
No.
Is there even going to be a guy picked in the first two rounds outside of him? So if you want to get one, this is when you got to get him.
Yeah, that's fair. Again, I won't be upset if the Jets take Brock Bowers. I don't think they will. So part of my mock is what I want to do, but the majority of it is based on what I think the Jets will do. Just knowing the Jets and with all the rumors floating out there, I'm basing it more on that. And so I think if Odunze was there at 10, they would take him. Obviously, I would take him as well in that situation. If Odunze wasn't there, I think they go O-line. I think they would go O-line over Bowers. I think they would go – I've said it before. I forget if I tweeted this. I think the Jets' 10th overall pick will be a player from Washington. I believe it'll either be Rome Odunze or Troy Fatanu.
It'll be Penix.
Or it'll be Michael Penix. It'll be one of those. Or it'll be Jalen McMillan at 10. That's what's going to happen. Or
Dylan Johnson, the running back. Let's really screw things up.
There you go. Or Rosengarten, Roger Rosengarten as well. There you go. It's a lot of Washington.
Really quick, though, Franco Coniglione, I think, is a good take, though, where he says trading down and drafting Bowers is good, but drafting him at 10 is a luxury pick. We need a premium position in the top 10. And there's truth to that, but also you spent the offseason addressing your premium positions because you got a whole new offensive line. You got a new receiver. And again, I think Bowers isn't like a regular tight end where you just, put him in line all the time. I think he offers unique versatility for the tight end position. Like, this reminds me, again, he's going to get compared to him a lot, but when I know he's bigger too. When Kyle Pitts came out of Florida, like, you weren't just going to say, put him as an inline tight end and he'll get 40 catches for 600 yards every year. They were thinking of all the creative things you could do with Kyle Pitts. Or even, remember when Vernon Davis came out of Maryland and the Niners took him?
Yeah, he was a freak, Vernon Davis.
And Vernon Davis, like, running back kicks at Maryland. Like, I know Vernon Davis is an athletic freak, but it's the same sort of thing where you draft him to be almost more just, this is going to be like a weird sounding term, but OW, offensive weapon. Like, I know that that's been used.
That has such a negative connotation.
It's been corrupted by Denard Robinson and Cordarrelle Patterson, but like, Bowers is just a guy with so much mismatch potential. It's like in the NBA where, you know, you may have a power forward, but this guy is 6'10 and can shoot. Like, you'll get him on the court somehow. Bowers is a great athlete and he's physical with good hands. You'll get him on the field somehow, especially in the modern NFL when guys are kind of mixing and matching where everybody lines up. This isn't, you know, 1985 with the one inline tight end. Bowers gives you that multiplicity, for lack of a better word.
And on top of that, Tyler Conklin, as much as I love Tyler Conklin, I feel like I'm a bigger Conklin fan than most. He's on last year of his deal. So, you know, there's
no need one soon anyway.
Right. You might be looking for a new tight end soon. I mean, I'm still in the camp that's like, hey, maybe just extend Tyler Conklin because he's a good player. But that's another thing to consider. I would prefer trading down and getting Bowers. And I think the Saints make a ton of sense there. If the Saints are moving up to 10, I don't think there's a team between 10 and 14 that's going to take Bowers. I think the Colts are the likely team that's going to take him if he's there at 15. Now, obviously, the Colts could end up jumping the Jets. If the Jets move down, that's possible. But I think if you want Bowers, if you are a Brock Bowers guy, I think a perfect scenario for you is you want the Jets to move down to 14 and get him at 14. I think that's probably his floor is like 15 at the Colts. I don't think he falls further than that. So if you really want Bowers, move down to 14, get him there. I think that makes a ton of sense. All right, Mike.
Moving on to pick 72. If you're 72,
I'm ready, and I have it typed up already in the thing. So don't worry, I got it typed up ready.
All right, we're not just going off of Justin's phone here. All right.
Yeah. No, I got it typed up finally. All right. I'm gonna add, you know, the extra flair to it. You didn't announce it the way I hoped you would. So I'm gonna.
I'm not doing the noise.
I'm gonna do the
Tommy DeVito Goodfellas. I'm funny like a clown.
I'm gonna do the Roger Goodell. I'm gonna do the Roger Goodell. All right. With the 72nd pick in the 2024 Jet Press mock draft.
It's the new how he talks.
Okay.
Well, I don't like he's Churchill. Like it's like he's Winston Churchill.
I'm not doing an impression. I'm just
this is okay.
I'm just saying that he would be the one announcing the pick. Or I guess in the third round he wouldn't be. Mike, you know what I'm saying? With the 72nd pick.
Do you think?
In the 2024, the Jet Press mock draft. The New York Jets select Dominic Pooney, offensive lineman out of Kansas. After going wide receiver in the first round, I definitely wanted to add an offensive line. I definitely wanted to add an offensive lineman here on day two. Since the Jets didn't move down, their highest pick is still at number 72. I would not be shocked if they try and move up from this pick if they don't end up trading down, trying to get in that second round. But I didn't do that. I stayed put at 72, and I got Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. Pooney is basically what I love about Troy Faletanu, but just a little bit worse. I love Pooney's versatility. Former D2 guy who ended up starting, I think, 25 games at Kansas, did not allow a single sack in 2 years at Kansas. Played left tackle, played left guard. He can really play legitimately. There are scouts that think he can play center. I think he could play all five positions on the offensive line, and that is exactly what this Jets team needs right now. They desperately, desperately need offensive line depth because there are so many injury concerns. Tyron Smith hasn't played more than 13 games in a decade. Morgan Moses is coming off surgery. Elijah Vera Tucker has missed the majority of the last two seasons with significant injuries. Those are three genuine injury concerns at both your tackle spots and at right guard. Pooney can play all three of those spots. He can play both tackle spots. He could play right guard if you need him to. That is exactly the type of chess piece the Jets need in this offensive line. He's a little bit older. He's going to be 24 at the time of the draft. I believe he's already 24 now, and that's something to consider. Also, you know, he played the majority of his college career at D2, but he held his own at Kansas, was very good in pass protection there, did not allow a single sack. I think he's going to be a rock-solid NFL player. I'm not sure if he has, like, genuine Pro Bowl potential, All-Pro potential, anything like that. But for a third-round pick, getting that kind of versatility, that's exactly what the Jets need. That's my pick here in the third round.
I do like Pooney a lot. I actually, in my mock draft, I have him going with the exact next pick.
Oh, wow.
At 73 to the Lions.
Ooh, so the Jets passed on him. I want to see who they picked then. But anyway.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. I do like Pooney a lot, again, for the versatility thing. And versatility can be kind of a double-edged sword when you're talking about linemen. Like, oh, he could play tackle and guard. Well, maybe that tells me he's kind of half a tackle and half a guard, and then he doesn't really stick as a starter anywhere. I also am concerned about the D2 thing. Yeah, I know that he played well at Kansas, obviously, but, I mean, he is a Division II guy who played, you know, none of those Division II guys he played are going to end up in the NFL. So you really have kind of a limited span of games to judge him off of when compared to some of the other guys here. And my one last bit of, let's call it constructive criticism, because I do like Pooney as a prospect, is watching. I feel like there were a lot of times where a lot of linemen do this, like first round guys do this, where he just wins on pure power and just like, I'm a better athlete than you and I'm stronger than you. And in the NFL, you can't do that because everybody's that good of an athlete. And there are technical shortcomings that could be exposed when you get to the next level. So I think it'll Pooney going to the Jets would be a good situation for him because he won't have to play right away. And you can adjust to the game. You can get a very defined role. You're not like going back and forth. You could just say, you're a left guard, you're a backup left guard, and we're going to work with you. Because I do like his game a lot.
You know who he reminds me of?
Really good footwork for his size, moves pretty well, good hands, good pass pro anchor, like a lot of stuff to work with here.
You know who he reminds me of? This feels like an obvious comparison, but both of us have experience covering the Ravens, so we're familiar with Patrick McCary. I think that's who he reminds me of a lot.
McCary's more like a tackle. He came in like a straight up tackle that they kind of.
He was playing a lot of center. Like they played him at center guard. He could play all five spots.
How do I phrase it? Like I think Pooney does it more because he's just that good of a player. I feel like McCary kind of adapted to that because they just need to throw him into certain things.
Maybe
I feel like Pooney is a little bit more of a refined guy. Plus, he just looks like he has the phenotype of Brian Winters, and Brian Winters was an okay third round pick. So.
Pooney's bigger than McCary. Pooney is bigger and stronger than McCary. So I'm with you there. But in terms of the versatility, they're similar. I think they're about the same height, like 6'4", 6'5". So they're pretty tall for a guy who would play center. I see that comparison, but I agree. McCary's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger than Pooney, but similar-ish players in terms of versatility.
So now that I'm making my number 72 pick, I went away from the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you got to announce it. You got to do the
flare. Well, I'm getting to the build intention. You got to.
I lost my trust. You didn't do it last time.
building tension here. So, looking at the Jets, I think there's one area on the defense that they really needed to address, and that was up the middle in terms of safeties. Mm. I don't love their safeties. So, with the number 72 pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Jets could select Jaden Hicks from Washington State.
He's still available. That's crazy.
You think he's going to be gone by then? I thought it was higher on him than most.
I think he's like, a lot of people think he's the top safety in the class.
Well, that's not true at all because it's Tyler Newbin, but okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, didn't he have like a three RAS? Sorry.
That was Cameron Kinchins you're thinking of.
Oh, maybe. I think Newbin
from Miami, you had like a two something.
Well, whatever.
But like, because Newbin would be a good pick, but the Jets don't have a second. But if they had a second, he could be one to look at. Hicks is a kind of a unique player because how many Robert Saleh draft picks were those kind of safety linebacker hybrid guys? And that's what Hicks could be. Like, I don't think he'll be like, I'm seeing somebody in chat right here. Michael Pieper Jr. I almost thought it said Michael Penix Jr. We need a backup linebacker for Mosley. I don't think that that's going to be what they'll use Hicks for, but because he's not like the fastest safety in the world, just in terms of long speed. But
I like Jamie and Sherwood.
I'm
saying Sherwood is your backup linebacker for Mosley. That's your backup.
He's okay. But looking at Sherwood, imagine Sherwood just a little bit smaller and a little bit better in zone coverage. And that's Jaden Hicks because he actually covers ground pretty well. He has good like burst in open space and good closing ceiling. He's a good tackler in open space, which that was one of my big problems with the Jets last year. For as good as the defense was, felt like there was a lot of broken tackles and flying around. Hicks will just wrap guys up. And he'll hit him hard. Big, strong dude. I mean, 6'2", 215. That's pretty big for a safety.
Yeah.
And he will just lay the wood on some people. I do like how he can – like, they were testing him for some reason a lot in college. I don't know why, but he was one of the better zone coverage DBs, I think, in this entire class. And that's what Robert Saleh is going to ask from his safeties.
Yep.
Ashton Davis, I like that he's back, but Jordan Whitehead's gone. I don't trust Chuck Clark at his age coming off an injury. Hicks doesn't have to necessarily be a week one starter, but again, with the Bowers thing, there's so many different things you can do with Jaden Hicks. You could have him hang back deep. You could probably, if you really wanted to, make him kind of like a tight end exclusive guy in the slot. Maybe a new age Antonio Allen, some people are saying. Maybe have him blitz, because I think he'd be a great blitzer. If Washington State didn't really have him do that a lot, but I think he's got that sort of build. Hicks at number 72, I'm really high on.
Yeah, I mean, if Hicks is still there at 72, I'm happy with that pick. I don't know if the Jets will draft. For me, I don't know if I want a defensive player in the first three rounds. I don't think I want a defensive player until day three because the defense is already so set. But if they are going to draft the defensive player, safety is absolutely the route they should go. I think Jaden Hicks might be the best safety in this class. I think a lot of people would agree with that take as well. And I don't think that that's a hot take. It's not a particularly good safety class, but Hicks can come in and basically give you that third safety that you're looking for. I mean, I know they brought back Ashton Davis as well, but if you go into next year with Chuck Clark, Tony Adams, Ashton Davis, and Jaden Hicks, that's a damn good foursome of safeties right there. That's I'm happy with that. And I don't think that
I'm missing the number three safety behind Tyler Newbin and Javon Bullard from Georgia. So,
okay. All right. I'm pretty sure Newbin had like a really bad RAS too, but I digress. Kitchens definitely did too, but I do really like Hicks. He can basically be your Chuck Clark replacement possibly as soon as this year. If you know, I don't think there's any reason why he can't compete with and potentially beat out Clark for a starting job or even Tony Adams. Gives you another young, affordable, cheap safety to have on the roster. That's the way that the Jets like to attack that position. It makes sense to me. I'm on board if he's there at 72. All right, let's go.
Number 111.
I have it typed out again. We're going to day three now. All right. And I'm still not going defense. I'm still sticking with the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to wait on defense. I don't want the Jets to draft defense early. Maybe that's more wishful thinking. They will be addressing defense very soon in my mock. Don't worry, but not here because with the number 111 pick in the 2024 Jet Press Mock Draft, the New York Jets select Michael Pratt, quarterback out of We got a quarterback, folks.
A QB3.
I think the Jets are going to end up with either Michael Pratt or Jordan Travis. They brought both of them in for top 30 visits. They also brought in Michael Hyers from Samford, but I don't think he's getting drafted. That's probably more of a camp arm. Pratt and Travis, both are probably day three guys. I think there's a chance Pratt sneaks into the third round. Travis probably more of a day three lock. I think if Pratt is still on the board at 111, I don't think the Jets hesitate. There's a chance they'd even move up for him because I think he's everything that they're looking for in a developmental young quarterback to develop behind Tyrod Taylor and develop behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's ever going to be a great quarterback. I think I've said this about him in the past. He projects as someone to me who is going to have a long career as a fringe starter or a backup quarterback. He has the smarts that teams look for. Pretty accurate quarterback. I don't think he has, you know, an amazing arm, but he's got better every single year at Tulane. He had a very good year these past two seasons. Only 10 interceptions over the last 2 years, so pretty safe with the ball as well. And that's kind of what you want in a backup quarterback. I don't think he's not a Joe Milton type, right? Like he's not somebody who's going to be taking a bunch of chances, who's super physically gifted, but lacking all the nuance of the quarterback position. I think Michael Pratt has that stuff down. He's just a little bit physically limited. I also thought I think one of the best parts of his game is he's very good under pressure, which is something that I think is a very translatable trait amongst quarterbacks. And I don't think that that's something you get in a lot of young quarterbacks. That impressed me a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Pratt goes late day two, but if he's on the board with pick 111, I do not think the Jets would hesitate. I think they end up with either Pratt or Jordan Travis. Give me Michael Pratt in the fourth round. So just to recap, got Roma Dunze in the first round. We got Dominic Cooney, offensive lineman out of Kansas in the second round, and Michael Pratt, quarterback of a Tulane, fourth round.
Third round for Cooney, fourth for Pratt. Right,
third for Cooney, fourth round for Pratt. You understand. That's the thing.
The quarterback class is very stratified because there's the top four guys, it seems like everybody knows, Williams, May, Daniels, McCarthy. Then there's Nixon, Penix in that middle ground.
Kind of Rattler-ish. Rattler is like right behind them.
Spencer Rattler, who I actually like more than most. I had Spencer Rattler in like the 70s on my big board. I really liked him. He'll be like a third round guy. Then there's a bunch of who knows what after that, a bunch of day three guys. Pratt is the best of the day three guys. He's like 75% of what you want in a quarterback. Like he's just so average in everything.
Yeah.
Like there's no glaring weaknesses, but like average, he does have great touch. Like he can alter how much velocity he puts on throws, pretty good down the field in terms of his deep accuracy. I do like his playmaking out of structure, but it's just average arm, average mobility, average size. Like it does everything kind of okay, which if you're drafting for a long-term backup quarterback, that's kind of what you want. And he just seems very Shanahan-y, quarterback-y. Yes. Like, I was even watching him. I'm like, man, if Jimmy G moved around a little bit more, this would be
– yeah.
This is kind of what Michael Pratt is. And again, if he becomes Jimmy G, that's a hell of a fourth-round pick. So,
you know what he is? He's the – and I don't mean this as an insult. He is the Harrison Barnes of quarterbacks.
Harrison Barnes is still playing pretty well. So
Harrison Barnes is good. He's average to slightly above – I think maybe if Michael Pratt develops, he gets there. Because Harrison Barnes is average to slightly above average in everything. No real weakness in his game. solid player. I think Michael Pratt is a similar way, and I love the Shanahan shout out. Absolutely think he fits in like a Shanahan-y West Coast style system where he can put that, you know, short and intermediate accuracy, that anticipation to use. Don't have to be super physically gifted. I think that's a really good fit for Pratt. And honestly, I mean, and I know it's a Nathaniel Hackett offense, but it's still elements of Shanahan stuff in there. Obviously, you know, more Mike Shanahan, I guess, the West Coast style. I think he's a good player to develop behind Rodgers and Taylor.
I'm going offense this time.
Okay.
And I want another pass catcher because I don't want to see any Jason Brownlees or Xavier Gibsons.
I love it.
With the number 111 pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Jets could select Malik Washington, wide receiver, Virginia.
All right.
I'll get the negatives out of the way first because I do like him as a prospect. Tiny, tiny guy, 5'8", 190 pounds. Tiny guy. Not great speed. Okay speed, but not great speed, which when you're that size, you feel like you a lot of times need great speed to really set yourself apart. And he didn't run like a ton of really diverse routes. It was kind of basic. I get Virginia's offense couldn't do anything, so they weren't having him like streak down the field a lot. But little bit of Jarvis Landry, a lot of screen catches kind of thing. That's why he has such crazy numbers. But there's just something about a guy who had either 8 catches or a touchdown or 100 yards and a touchdown in all but one game this year. I mean, that's insane production on a horrible team where he was the only player. So he was all guys game plan for, and he was still getting 100 yards. Super crafty route runner. Very good hands. Pretty good, like, when there's contested catches, too. He's, like, got pretty – he could fight through things. I do like him at the line of scrimmage, too. And then when he gets the ball, it's like a running back. Yeah. He's just shifty. He's got good vision. Like, he'd almost be like a scat back in a – in a different life if you put on like 10 pounds. So Washington's another guy who I think would be a solid wide receiver for long-term. Just send him underneath, have him be a security valve. I don't think he's ever going to be like a great deep threat, but maybe he's going to be one of those guys that gets like 8-9 yard per catch averages every single year. Like maybe 45 catches, a couple touchdowns. And for a fourth round pick, that's a pretty reliable wide receiver. And I don't think he's going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown with a fourth round pick and just got a bazillion dollars, but good, solid player. And the Jets need more good, solid players on offense.
Yeah. I know you really like Malik Washington. You talked about him a lot. Very, very productive and exciting player in college. Basically, he's an Xavier Gibson upgrade. Like that's what he would be. If you draft Malik Washington, I don't think that Xavier Gibson makes the team. He's pretty much redundant at that point. Washington is your backup slot, your undersized guy who can also return kicks and return punts. He basically is your Gibson replacement. And that's fine. I think the Jets like Gibson enough that they wouldn't take Washington. I think that they want to continue to develop him as, you know, a cheaper, you know, UDFA contract or whatever. But I like Washington, and I think he would be better than Gibson. So I would not be opposed to that at all. I would not be upset. Give me all the pass catchers. Give me all the skill players. Give me all the offensive players, because the Jets just need to continue adding pieces to this offense, add pieces to the receiving core. You drafted Brock Bowers as the tight end. Now you go and get Malik Washington as your wide receiver. I'm very happy with that. I think Washington is probably your wide receiver four in that situation. If he can beat out Gibson for that job, which you would assume he does if he's picked in the fourth round. I like that. I like that pick a lot. All right, Mike.
34 is up next. We are getting deep into it.
We are. We're sticking in the fourth round because this is now the pick the Jets got because of the Morgan Moses trade. This is a compensatory pick in the back half of the fourth round. I think it's like second last pick in the fourth round. And Mike, I'm finally going defense. It was the first defensive pick. We took 3 straight offensive players, and now we're going defense because Robert Saleh is going to get his way at some point. Robert Saleh was locked into a room for the first 3 picks, and he broke his way out. He broke free of the chains. He's out, and he's in.
I need pass rushers.
I need a pass rusher. I need a pass rusher. And guess what? With the 134th pick in the 2024 Jet Press mock draft, the New York Jets select Muhammad Kamara, edge rusher, Colorado State. If there was an edge rusher who is ever designed to play for Robert Saleh, it is Muhammad Kamara. There have been a ton of comparisons I've seen out there to Bryce Huff, and it is about as accurate of a comparison, I think, as you can get for somebody. And obviously, hopefully, he can become what Bryce Huff is. Undersized guy, only 6'1", 6'. I don't even think he's 6'2". He's 6'1", 248. Not great, not super amazing length. Just a rapid and like a ridiculous first step, like explosive player. And he just plays with like a red hot motor, just always going. And I think that's what's going to intrigue, or, you know, not even intrigue, just appeal to a guy like Robert Saleh, who absolutely loves that in pass rushers. Very productive player at Colorado State as well. 13 sacks his last year. He had 7.5 as a part-time player in 2021, and then 8.5 as a starter in 2022. Kind of lacks that ideal size, lacks that ideal length. But if you're looking for a guy who just plays with just like 120% on every single play and is an excellent, excellent athlete, I think he's somebody who steps in and is a perfect, I mean, I don't want to say Bryce Huff replacement because you traded for Hassan Reddick, but he basically fills that role that Bryce Huff was filling early in his career, and you're hopefully going to continue to develop him. I know you have Will McDonald. I know you have so much edge rusher depth. This isn't even necessarily what I would do. I don't think this is necessarily a need for the Jets. I just think he fits everything that Robert Saleh would love in a pass rusher. I think Saleh is going to draft a defensive lineman at some point, and I say Saleh because it will be a Robert Saleh pick, whoever it is. The other player I considered here was another defensive lineman that the Jets brought in for a top 30 visit, because the Jets did bring in Kamara, who is a New Jersey native, by the way.
Newark born.
They brought him in for a top 30 visit. The other player I considered here who was still on the board when I was doing my mock simulator, Mason Smith, the defensive tackle from LSU. Another just – he reminds me of Javon Kinlaw type. I don't think either is a need, but I think one of them, there's a very decent chance they end up with the Jets. I went with Kamara. I just think he is everything that Robert Saleh would fall in love with in a pass rusher prospect. There it is. There's your pass rusher.
I had Smith off the board at this point. I had Kamara actually a few picks earlier to Buffalo at 128. So right.
There you go.
Kind of in that range. He'd be good in the Bryce Huff. The weird thing, though, I keep seeing Bryce Huff comparisons. Bryce Huff was a speed guy. Kamara uses his bull rush like a lot. He's
physical. He's very physical for his size.
He's got an issue with the big guys upstairs, because if he was 6'4", 250, yeah, I think this guy's a top 50 pick. But he's like 6'1".
Yeah.
I think because of that too, I really don't see a future for him as like a run defender. I don't see a very diverse like set of pass rush moves. It feels like I'm gonna either bull rush you or run by you, and then if you beat me, then okay, fine, next play. That can't work in the NFL as a late fourth round pick. But athletically, he's totally what you want. And if Bryce Huff kind of outplayed what they thought he would be, and they want a guy to just be what Bryce Huff was before last year, pretty good player with Kamara. Pretty good replacement.
And just tell me, like, his energy, the way he launches.
Oh, he plays insane. So
he played it like Robert Saleh. If Robert Saleh turns on one Colorado State game, he's going to fall in love with Mohamed Kamara. They brought him in for a top 30 visit for a reason. Like, they clearly are looking at him. I would not be surprised at all if the Jets try and draft him, even though they don't need him. I think they're going to do it. Brian in chat saying no way the Jets keep it in their pants through pick 134. They need to lock Robert Saleh in a separate room. They cannot let him into the Jets war room, because he will get in there. He will get in Joe Douglas's ear and be like, look, I could turn Mohamed Kamara into a 10-sack player. And you know what? He's probably right. But we don't need that.
That's great, Robert. We need receivers. Right.
He'll look at Byron Murphy and be like, I can make Byron Murphy Quinton Williams 2.0. And maybe he's right, but I don't care.
They'll just break out of that like the Incredible Hulk.
Right. Honestly, yeah, really good luck chaining up Robert Saleh. He's going to break free of anything. But yeah.
I wish our coach was like Dick Vermeil way back when. He was just like this nice old man and he could do that. Sure. Not Robert Saleh, who's like jacked.
Yeah.
I think there's only probably three coaches who could beat him up in the league.
I don't know. Who? Mike Vrabel. Well,
Mike Vrabel could have when he was
gone. Vrabel's gone. Who's going to beat him up?
Dan Campbell.
That'd be tough. That'd be close. That'd be a close one.
Campbell. D'Amico Ryans would be close.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, not yet. Former players will have an advantage. You're right.
I mean, there's a couple there, but he's still in the top five. So getting away from Royal Rumble talk, we're going to, from Money in the Bank, Hell in the Cell talk, we're going to go to another offensive lineman. Now, I finally had the Jets getting a backup offensive lineman, but not a tackle. A tackle to me, I wouldn't mind a backup tackle later. We'll get to that. But the long-term thing seems like across this bridge we come to a thing. Right now, I want more interior depth. Sure. So because of that, with the number 134th pick,
you got it,
in the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Jets could select Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin.
Of course you picked an Italian dude.
Hey, Bordellini, how you doing? So the thing about Bordellini, I'm going to do the whole review in this voice.
Oh, God.
But Bordellini's RAS was 9.78. I mean, he ran under a 5-second 40-yard dash, and he's 6'4", 303. Mm-hmm. His shuttle time and his three cone were both almost unprecedented. They were almost like 10 out of 10 for guards. Super quick, super light on his feet. And if you look at a lot of those undrafted guard steals, you're like, how the hell did they become stars? A lot of them had great shuttle and three cone times. That agility when you're inside, it really helps. Really good blocker at the second level. He went to a totally different scheme last year. Played pretty well. He could play center or guard. He's had experience at both of them. He does. He's not great in terms of just raw, like meeting a guy and hitting with power. There were some issues there. Like, he's okay, but he got overpowered a little bit. Unfortunately, Illinois, when he played Johnny Newton, the tackle there, I mean, Johnny Newton just ate him for lunch. That was like that was like Johnny Newton's coming out game was against him in Wisconsin. So if you're willing to block that out of your memory, I think Bortolini, just as a developmental prospect and a former Joe Tippmann teammate.
Yes, he replaced Tippmann pretty much.
He replaced Tippmann. Now he could be either his backup or maybe play alongside him as a guard in case something happens. Like, because he has that the versatility of having played both. And not like a hypothetical, he could play both. He has multiple games of starting experience at both center and guard.
Yep.
And he's a great athlete. That's the kind of guy the Jets need to prioritize on day three if they want to take a lineman here.
He started a couple games at tackle, at right tackle in 2021 as well. He has started games at center, left guard, right guard, and right tackle. And actually, according to the Dane Brugler report, he actually started the game at tight end, which I'm sure that was more of just an inline, you know, extra blocker for the first play of the game.
Take another tight end, Jets. I dare you.
Yeah, I support this pick for one reason, because Tanner Bordellini have you what he looks like? Have you seen his like his face and his hair?
I've seen his glorious mullet.
He's got another mullet. And you compare him with Joe Tippmann, because Tippmann, obviously, he replaced Tippmann at Wisconsin. Now you're drafting a guy who ended up replacing him. They both got mullets going on, Mike. Like, I want my offensive lineman. I know Dan Feeney had a mullet. He wasn't particularly good, but that's an outlier. Almost every offensive lineman.
That I like how there's two examples and one of them didn't work. And you're like, oh, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that one. Only pay attention to the guy who went to Wisconsin and was a center at Wisconsin, because that's what Bordellini is as well. I would love that, drafting the guy who ended up replacing Tippmann. Obviously, he's not as highly touted as Tippmann was, and he might just be Tippmann's straight up backup year one. Basically, I mean, he's your long-term replacement for Wes Schweitzer, at least maybe like as soon as next year. If you draft him, you probably don't need to worry about bringing back Connor McGovern. You could focus on adding tackle depth in free agency, whether it's Donovan Smith, David Bakhtiari, whoever. That makes sense to me. I'm for it. And because of the mullet, I'm definitely all for it. Let me type mine out really quick. So Mike, we're going now to is the sixth round, right?
Because 185, because the Jets don't have a fifth round pick.
Because the Jets do not have a fifth round pick. So in the sixth round, I'm sticking with the defensive side of the ball here. I went Mohamed Kamara with the first pick. So I'll recap really quick. Got Roma Dunze in the first round. Third round, Dominic Pooney, offensive lineman out of Kansas. In the fourth round, I went Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane, and then edge rusher Mohamed Kamara out of Colorado State. So now, in the sixth round, we are sticking with defense. Mike, you already addressed safety. This is where I do it. So with the number 185 pick in the 2024 Jet Press mock draft, the New York Jets select Bo Brady. I believe it's pronounced Brady.
I thought you were going to say Bo Nix. I'm like, what?
Bo Nix, moving him to safety. No, Bo Brady, safety out of Maryland. This is where the Jets finally address safety. Obviously, it's the sixth round, so your expectations are a little shortened or a little, you know, lowered for what he can be capable of early. He's kind of like almost like a nickel safety hybrid, I think, is what his role will be more at the NFL. 6 foot, 203, 2 years as a starter at Maryland. Not the biggest guy by any means, but seems like a pretty solid guy in coverage. I think, according to some stuff that I've seen, he models his game after Minkah Fitzpatrick. I don't think you can get.
No, he's not that good in zone.
I don't think you get nearly that level of play. But in terms of the versatility, I can see it a little bit. Pretty good athlete. You know, I think he's a solid ball hawk. He had 14 pass deflections over the last 2 years, 3 interceptions, solid, well-rounded safety. I think he'd have a role early on in special teams, probably competing with Jarrett Bernard Converse for that like fourth safety spot, you know, similar versatility to Bernard Converse, who can also play corner too. Fine spot for him. I don't think he's anything special as a safety prospect. You know, we're going to the sixth round here at this point, but solid player. I think he fits in well. Also can be a good player on special teams. That's my pick here. Finally addressing safety at this point in the draft.
It's weird because he played a lot of like safety and kind of even close to the line of scrimmage a little bit. They used him kind of all over the place, but seems like he wants to play like a corner almost because he doesn't have like great range.
He played nickel.
He's not the bit, yeah, nickel, but like I feel like he's listed nominally as a safety, hung back a little bit in Maryland. Like he's active at the line of scrimmage, and I'll give him that.
Yeah.
And he's willing to hit. I'll give him that too.
Yep.
I just don't love him playing like a straight up safety role. Again, like they have to pretty much convert him to like a nickel thing, which, you know, you're not drafting guys 185 overall to be a starter, but I think there's a role for him. And if nothing else, he'll be a great special teamer.
That's my thinking.
This guy could be like, this guy as a gunner would be fantastic because he does have pretty okay straight line speed. So yeah. If nothing else, you're going to get a solid, maybe like a dime package guy who could blitz, who could do a couple different things, and you get a special teamer. I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's my thinking here. It's the sixth round. You're drafting guys who have backup versatility and can find a role in special teams. And I think that's what Brady does.
So I'm going to go on offense this time. And it's something that I thought long and hard about because I went back and forth with Justin about, I don't think we need to draft this position this year. But I looked at how the board shook out.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, you know what? They probably do need one of these guys. So with the number 185 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Jets could select Isaiah Davis, running back.
Ooh, let's go.
From South Dakota State.
I like him.
Justin, are you aware of South Dakota State's name?
The Jackrabbits, right?
Yes, sir, the Jackrabbits.
Look at that.
Great name. They named it after Janoris Jenkins. But Davis was a four-year starter. This is how crazy Davis's career at South Dakota State was. His first 2 years, he didn't even tally 200 total carries, but he had 8 yards a carry and 17 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's insane production. Then he becomes a starter. 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, and then rounded up 1,600 yards, 18 touchdowns. Crazy productive. Why is he falling? Well, speed is average. He could be a little too – maybe he got a little bit Le'Veon Belly. Like, there's one thing to be patient, but sometimes he could be a little bit, where's the lane? Tackled mm-hmm. for a one-yard loss. There's a lot of that. Like, unless there's just a big path, he's not going to run through it, which I don't love for running backs. And again, he's not going to have like breakaway speed. This is like a one-cut power guy. And he's 218, which isn't like huge for a one-cut power guy. But one of the toughest guys in this draft, this dude will run your ass over when he gets the ball. Capable of withstanding a heavy workload, South Dakota State. Pretty good, like choppy footwork. Like he got a little wiggle, I think, when he gets the chance. And he's not like going to blow by you, but you know what? Consistent runner. He's not going to be, it's just 3 yards, cloud of dust, next play. And I like guys like that. And I feel like that's what this Jets team needs because Breece Hall is a do everything back. Mm-hmm. Abanikanda is a speed guy. And then you get Isaiah Davis, who just give me the ball, let me run over guys. It's almost like he seeks out contact, like to run over guys.
Yeah.
And now, of course, he ran over guys more because he's an NFL athlete and South Dakota State is not playing a ton of NFL athletes. But I love guys who run hard. Maybe it's a scouting weakness of mine, but his style of play, that's what I want a backup running back.
Joe Douglas has drafted a running back in every single draft class that he has had with the Jets to this point. And
really?
Yep. 2020 with Michael Pirine. 2021 was Michael Carter. 2022, Breece Hall. 2023 was Izzy Abanikanda. I don't expect that to change. I do think the Jets will draft the running back at this point. I also think they're going to sign somebody. I think that they will sign somebody. I was very close to drafting Audric Estime at a point, Mike. With that Michael Pratt pick, I was really close to taking Audric Estime because you know I love Audric Estime. I think that he'd be a perfect, perfect complement to Breece Hall and exactly what they need. But my mindset went, you know what? I think they're going to sign a veteran running back to fill that role. And I think if they do draft the running back, it'll be more of a guy who is competing with Izzy for RB3 as opposed to Estime, who would, in my mind, hopefully be RB2. If they don't do that, though, I do really like Isaiah Davis. Just like you said, one of the toughest running backs in this class, hard-nosed player. Honestly, a very good fit for what they're looking for. You know, definitely has some limitations as a player. But if you're looking for a guy who's just going to really run hard every single play, I think that is Isaiah Davis. And I like that pick. I went with a very similar idea here with mine. So now we're on to still the sixth round. This is pick
two picks left.
So this is the pick they got in the Zach Wilson trade. We have two picks left. We have this and Mr. Irrelevant. We're going long with this stream. That's fine. It is the draft special. That's fine.
And there's only one draft a year.
Only one draft a year.
Mike, well, the supplemental draft, if you want to be technical, but
why would you? Why even? They're the XFL draft.
I want you to punch me through the screen. I want to see if that technology is possible.
Did Restream add that feature yet? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you need to like update your computer to get that.
So. Oh, that's the MacBook Pro Plus. You got it. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I went with a very similar direction, although a few picks later than you, because Mike, I took a running back because I do think that they're going to take one at some point. So. With the 203rd pick.
Seventh.
203rd. I'm almost positive it's 203rd. Yeah, 203rd. I think. Prove me wrong if I'm not, but I'm going to go with 203. With the 203rd pick in the 2024, the Jet Press mock draft, the New York Jets select Dylan Lauby, running back out of New Hampshire. This is another local guy. We went the local guy, Muhammad Kamara from New Jersey. This is Dylan Lauby from West Hampton, New York on Long Island. Shout out Long Island. I'm very excited about that. Lauby kind of goes against what I've been saying a lot with the Jets running backs for most of the offseason and what they need. Because I've been saying that they need more of like a bruising short yardage guy. Lauby is not that at all. Dylan Lauby is 5'9", 206 pounds. Very small. Also not incredibly fast. He wins with, I hate to use like the comparison of like a Danny Woodhead because it feels very obvious.
Oh, come on.
It feels so obvious, but am I wrong? Like that's what he is because of the receiving versatility as well. He had 68 catches for almost 700 yards at New Hampshire his last season. Also 7 receiving touchdowns, was as dual threat as it gets. He's not going to ever be a full-time guy because he lacks that size and he's not an incredibly fast player, although he's not slow by any means. Again,
dual threat or is it mono threat? Because
he's a running back. Like he's going to play running back. He's not somebody that you want grinding out yards in between the tackles. He's not going to carry the ball 20 times a game. But as a change of pace guy who can also serve as a very capable and very talented receiver, I like him. Again, this is a pick in my mind, assuming that the Jets sign like an Ezekiel Elliott or a Kareem Hunt or whoever. Somebody who could take on that RB2 role as a veteran, short yardage guy. You know, I'd love Zeke. Zeke is definitely my favorite target. We've talked about him on the show before. Lauby is kind of your fourth running back, maybe competing with Izzy Abanikanda. Very different types of players. Izzy is a lot bigger and faster than Lauby as well. But I think Lauby can find a role, especially as a pass catcher. And I think he excels in some areas that Izzy doesn't in terms of his receiving ability. Despite his small stature, I think he's a willing blocker. He's not ever going to be an amazing blocker because he's a small guy. But I think he tries his hardest there. And you could tell, like, I think he's not that Izzy doesn't try hard, but he's not I would not say he's a significantly worse blocker by any means than Izzy Abanikanda, despite Abanikanda being a lot bigger. I think Lauby can absolutely carve out a role as like that, gadget guy on offense, again, in the mold of a Danny Woodhead type. And I don't mean to make that comparison, but it is very obvious. I think from a physical standpoint, they're very similar size. Woodhead was not the most athletically gifted guy either, but he was a very smart player, very, very talented receiver. That's my pick for Lauby. Also, of course, the New York connection. I love drafting a Long Island guy. That's two drafts out of three. If they draft Lauby, that's two of the last 3 years that they drafted a guy from Long Island. And that makes me happy. So that's the pick here at 203.
I like Lauby as a receiver, but I'm a little more pessimistic on – I just don't think you can run him really between the tackles in the NFL.
Not much.
Is a big red flag for a running back prospect, but there's enough there, I think, to at least take a chance. Like, you know how there's store brand? Like, there's, like, Great Value and, like, America's Choice or whatever it's called. And then there's, like, something below a store brand where – like, I remember I was at Walmart recently, and, they have regular toilet paper, and then they had this other one. It was literally just a black packaging, and it just said bathroom tissue. It looked like stuff that you would get in, like, the Soviet Union in the 70s. Like, it was just that. It was probably one ply.
Are you comparing Dylan Lauby to toilet paper?
Yes, I am. But I feel like he's that version of an Austin Ekeler type. Because okay. Austin Ekeler, I feel like at this point, the receiving value is what really is driving Austin Eckler's career forward. I think eventually, it would not surprise me by the end of his career, he has more catches than carries and more receiving yards than rushing yards. Like a Theo Riddick. But you know what? Theo Riddick lasted for a little bit.
He did, like 10 years in the league almost.
He did last for a little bit. That's the path that I think he could follow because I do really think he's pretty incisive and I like his vision as a ball carrier, which is very hard to just teach somebody. You have it or you don't, and he has it.
And the thing is, like, with guys like that, they almost always get either drafted late or go undrafted. Eckler was undrafted. Woodhead was undrafted. When was Riddick? Was he undrafted? Or was he a fourth-round pick, Riddick?
He was a sixth-round pick, I think, was it Notre Dame?
And of course, he went. Also a New Jersey guy. There you go.
Yes.
Something about those local dudes. I don't think guys like that ever get drafted high. So I wouldn't be shocked if Lobby ended up having a career like a Theo Riddick. I could absolutely see that happening. And if you're drafting a guy in the sixth round, especially a running back, and they end up playing 8 years in the NFL, that's a win.
Well, 1 year, Theo Riddick had 43 carries for 133 yards, but 80 catches for 700 yards.
That tracks. I think Lobby could have a very similar ceiling in the NFL.
So when I was looking at this pick, I feel like now it's backup offensive tackle time. Now it's death tackle time. And it pains me to do this considering where he went to high school. But with the number 203 pick confirmed in the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Caden Wallace.
Tackle from Penn State.
Now, full disclosure, I grew up in a town called Hamilton, New Jersey. It's about 5 minutes away from Trenton. The town over is Robbinsville, New Jersey, where Caden Wallace is from. So that's as local as you could get as it pertains to me. But I am a proud Pennington alum. Go Red Hawks. At the time, they were the Red Raiders, but they have since changed. They are now the Red Hawks. So go Red Hawks. And Caden Wallace went to Hunt, which is one of our big rivals over in Princeton. It was a little annoying just because we were the Red Raiders and our colors were red and black, and they were the Raiders and their colors were red and black. So. Yeah, I could give them chapter and verse for all the times I've beaten them in various competitions, but we won't do that. We're just gonna focus on Caden Wallace. Look,
I was bragging about my school beating Jeremy Ruckert's Lindenhurst when the Jets drafted him.
Oh, there were just so many. The problem with Hunt was okay. Blair was the where Odafe Owe went. If you're watching this from Blair, tell them to fix their freaking cross country course. It was disgusting. It was this golf course and it was poorly maintained. You had to run up a hill with like shale on it. And you saw the finish line nearby, but you had to do a mile loop around it. So you had to run a mile while constantly looking at the finish line. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, it was so bad. But anyway, if you want to hear more of my rants, follow me on Twitch. I hit a nerve. But anyway, Caden Wallace made a better decision to go to Penn State. And it was weird evaluating him because you always had a point of reference when watching him because Olufoshanu was right next to him the entire time. It was like when I was watching Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. And maybe I didn't like Blake Fisher as many as most did because you had Joe Alt right next to him and you saw a very clear difference. And you did see a clear difference between Caden Wallace and Olufoshanu. Like, Wallace is very deliberate, very almost mechanical in the way he plays tackle. Like, it's very rigid. It's like Tinker Toys, like everything. But there's potential there because he's a big, strong guy. He plays really hard. I like his lower body. That sounds weird. I like his legs.
It sounded weird until you said it sounded weird. And now
Oh, dear me. I like it. Oh, God. I like his – in terms of he can have good pass protection, Justin. That's why it's good.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And he has good anchor and pass pro, and he gets the second level well. That's what I was trying to get across here.
Sure.
God, Jeff Press After Dark. This is a long stream. This is what happens.
It's not even it's not even the Woodies, Mike. What are you doing?
It's not even. So, all right, getting back to G-rated stuff. I do think that the biggest problem with him, though, is he's just so technically rigid that he needs a year to just put some WD-40 on there and figure out how you can handle NFL athletes. Because he did an okay job with just power, but you're going to need more than just you and some power if you want to get anywhere in the NFL. But I think the Jets could be a good landing spot because they'll give him that grace period where he can get up to speed.
Yeah, I think I like Wallace more than you do. I'm surprised he was still available at 203 in your mock. I think he's going
to
go earlier.
He's rising lately. He used to be like barely on the board, and then lately he kind of got a second win.
He started 40 games at Penn State, all of which were at right tackle, but starting 40 games at Penn State is not nothing. I think he's a solid player. I honestly think he could benefit from a move to guard, partially because of what you're talking about with that, I don't think he has the best kind of lateral mobility, like that athleticism to kick out. I would not be surprised if he eventually moves a guard at some point in the NFL.
Forward, he does. Like when he pulls and run blocking, he does. But moving in pass sets, it's not amazing. It's
like the his footwork in pass protection, doesn't have the quickest feet. So I wouldn't be surprised if he moves the guard. Look, if he's available at 203, yes, absolutely. 100% give me Caden Wallace. I don't know if he's going to be, but it's so hard predicting these day three guys. You never know where they're going to go. Players fall all the time. If he's there at 2 or 3, absolutely give me Caden Wallace. I'd be very happy with that. All right, Mike, we have
last one, Mr. Irrelevant.
To the final selection, the Jets have Mr. Irrelevant for only the second time in their history. I hope that they don't trade it because that's so fun.
And it could be Brock Purdy. You never know.
Could be Brock Purdy. I mean, it's not going to be a quarterback for me. I already drafted Michael Pratt. Are you? Oh, you're going to totally drafting a quarterback. You're 100%.
Totally.
Because you have not drafted. You're 100% drafted.
Okay. Not because of Brock Purdy. Just that's how the board shook out. But anyway.
I have guesses, but I will wait until after I give you my pick. Okay. It is not a good quarterback. Of course, the Jets already drafted Michael Pratt. So I'll give you I'll recap it at the end after I explain my last pick. So I kind of went the fun route here because it's like, Mr. Irrelevant, what are you going to do here? Are you going to just draft some random special teamer, or are you going to just have fun? I wanted to have fun because I don't want to talk about a random special teamer. So with the number 257 overall pick in the 2024 Jet Press Mock Draft, the New York Jets select Giovanni Manu, offensive tackle out of British Columbia in Canada. That
just
is
the whole province.
Out of
just from parts unknown.
I think the college he went to is called British Columbia.
Oh, it is? Okay. He's not just like a guy showed up claiming to be from British Columbia. Like
out of the university.
He's out of the wilderness, out of the Canadian wilderness.
He was second team all Canadian the last two seasons.
Oh, British Columbia. Not that. Oh, God.
British Columbia's own. Giovanni Manu, by the way, first name is Werner. That's
Werner? Like the soda?
Werner or Werner. I might be Werner.
Werner Herzog, the director?
Yeah, it might be Werner, but I don't know. He was born in Tonga in the Pacific Islands before moving to Canada at age 11. Played a lot of basketball growing up, and that makes sense because the guy's 6'7", 200 or 352 pounds, and he absolutely tore it up at his pro day. And as a result of him tearing it up at his pro day, I think like over half the league, there was over 20 teams posted him on a top 30 visit for a guy who might not even get drafted because they were like, how is a dude who is 6'7", 350 something pounds? I believe he ran a 5.06 40 yard dash, and he had a 33-inch vertical. A 33-inch vertical for a guy
who's... I would crap my pants if somebody ran that fast at that size at me. I would
That is not a real... That is Bigfoot. Like, that is not a real human being. I don't care if the guy can really play tackle much because he is a huge work in progress. But if you're that big and you can...
Jordan Mailata worked.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, Jordan Mailata came into the NFL with pretty much zero football experience. He had a background, I believe, in rugby. Coming over from...
Imagine a rugby player tackling him with no pads.
Impossible. Manu,
how did he not get, like, I don't know rugby scoring. How did he not get, what do they call them, tries?
How did he not get,
like, 20 a game? How do you bring him down?
I have no idea. Manu also played some guard, which is, again, crazy for a dude who's 6'7", 352 pounds. Just an absolutely massive human being. Started 39 games in college, but again, at British Columbia. It's not even in the United States. Not exactly a particularly high level of football.
Sorry, Canada. I don't want to act like I'm not being thorough here. I haven't watched British Columbia Thunderbirds football.
The Jets hit on Nathan Shepard, who played his college.
Did they hit on him?
I mean, he played 5 years with the Jets. It's not bad.
Mm.
5 years. They kind of hit on him. And I believe, where did he, because he went to Fort Hays State. But where did he go before that? It was Simon Fraser, which is also in Canada. So
I could be wrong. I believe they don't have seating at their campus, at their stadium, Simon Fraser.
Sure fact, if you know that. That's an incredible
fact. I was watching a YouTube video on like craziest stadiums, and that was in it.
Yeah. I mean, look, my thinking with this pick is exactly what the thinking was with the Zach Kuntz pick last year. Who knows if he could play football, but the dude is a physical freak, and I want him on my football team. I don't know if he makes the roster, but he'd be a really fun player to have. And instead of me sitting here and talking about whatever special teams linebacker they're going to actually probably draft, I want to talk about Giovanni Manu, and that's who I'm picking here. He might get drafted before this. I mean, again, over half the league hosting him on a top 30 visit. That's insane. As Brian and Chat pointing out as well, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif also went to McGill, which is in Canada. I believe
the Harvard of Canada, they call it, I believe.
Is that in Quebec? Because I know he's from Quebec.
I think it's in Quebec, yeah.
There you go. So, yeah. So maybe another Canadian on his way to the Jets. That would be fun. Manu is my pick. Why not?
Can you get a more French-Canadian name than Laurent Duvernay-Tardif? I mean.
No, you cannot.
I'm looking at Giovanni Manu, this is his picture. He looks like a henchman. Like, you don't see a guy who would, like, fight James Bond, like Roger Moore era James Bond.
It's
he's
so
got a goatee and a bald head, and he's giant. And
it's crazy. You
imagine him in a suit in, like, a Vegas casino fighting James Bond. You could see it.
It's crazy because he was not on anybody's radar until that pro day. And then he had the pro day, and everyone's like, oh, who the hell is this dude?
Well, this guy's a monster.
Right. Who's this guy?
It's just imagine that's what makes football so great. It's so precise and so intricate that guys could be great college players and stink in the pros. Zach Wilson. And then you can find just this guy from parts unknown in Canada who just shows up and destroys this combine. And you're like, wow.
Manu did
it. And this guy could work because Jordan Mailata worked.
Manu did an interview with Justin Mello of the Draft Network, which is still kicking. Good for them.
Barely.
he did an interview with him, and he was talking about how after that pro day, this was an exact quote, it pretty much felt like all 32 teams were immediately blowing up my phone and my agent's phone as well. It's been a crazy few weeks. Dude, again, just like imagine like probably getting a couple of teams, you know, checking him out at British Columbia, calling him up, and then after that pro day, it's
Brian, like, he's the guy, Manu's the guy that gets killed by John Wick at the beginning of the second movie.
Never seen a John Wick film, so I'm sure that's really funny to others.
Oh, but you're missing out.
I know. It's not my archetype of movie that I look for. But yeah, I can only imagine what it's been like for Giovanni Manu over the last few weeks. But that's my pick. I want to have some fun with it. Give me just a ridiculous
one. I'll pick a guy with a little bit more collegiate experience.
Sure. Can I take a guess? Sorry, Brian. Brian says I'm dead to him. Sorry. I want to take a guess. Is it Carter Bradley?
It is not Carter Bradley. With the number 200, he went to the Seahawks in the seventh round. With the 257th pick.
Oh, and I have another guess, but I want to
Mr. Irrelevant.
Is it him?
The New York Jets select Devin Leary.
That's not who I thought. All right.
Quarterback from Kentucky.
I thought you were about to say Sam Hartman.
Sam Hartman? No. He's got a noodle arm, Sam Hartman.
I mean, Leary
I like because he actually has an arm.
Sure.
Wildly inconsistent during his last year at Kentucky, but that offensive line was horrendous. They didn't have any play. One playmaker, Ray Davis, and he was a running back. They had no real.
He's a fun story, dude. Like, I love
he's Ray a cool Davis. Story. I'm rooting for him. I have him going to the Bills, I believe, in my mock. But but they didn't really give him an environment to succeed. North Carolina State, he had 35 touchdowns and 5 picks.
Yeah, it was 2021, right?
It was, and then he got hurt, and then he went to Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, but again, the year he was hurt, he was still playing pretty well before he got hurt. And then the Kentucky happened. Smaller guy, not an amazing athlete. Like a Sam Darnold athlete where he's like good enough to make plays out of structure, but not like a runner, but better than most.
Mm.
And yeah, he's got some accuracy concerns. Those things will sail on him. And he's got some Ricky Vaughn in him where he just throws really hard, not really a ton of touch. And sometimes it'll end up 5 feet over the guy's head. You got to put up with that with him. But there was so much stuff I saw during both the North Carolina State and the Kentucky years where I'm like, this guy just got a whip of an arm and he could just fire it in there. A daring passer in a good way. Like he'll take some chances. And a lot of times he works out because he's got an arm. Local guy too, New Jersey guy, South Jersey, but still.
Sicklerville, which is also the hometown of Irvin Charles.
Yeah. Got so we can talk about Earl Charles on the Jets practice squad. Cause that's where they're both probably end up being. But in terms of number three quarterbacks, you need one, and Leary's got more arm talent than most of them, so he's my Mr. Irrelevant.
I love that. I like that a lot more than Sam Hartman. I really thought you were going to say Sam Hartman because feel like
I don't have a draftable grade on Hartman.
People have said that, and I've seen people say this that he's the Brock Purdy of this class.
No,
in terms of a guy who's not super athletically gifted, but you know whatever. I don't know.
Honestly, if you watched him side to side. Size wise, play style wise.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Leary is not too far off.
In terms of like what Purdy was as a prospect, I can see that. Leary, I think, is a better prospect than Purdy was. I would be surprised if he's available at the Mr. Relevant pick because in terms of these day three quarterbacks, there's not a lot of guys with upside, like with genuine upside. There's Joe Milton, who's just, that could be Tyree Jackson 2.0. Very well could be.
You ever see that meme of that old record player and it says, does not work, but could be fun to fix?
Yes.
That's Joe Milton.
That is exactly
Joe Milton. Boy, you're going to have – if he works, you're going to be like, holy crap, how did nobody take him earlier?
If he works, you can get a top five quarterback in the league. There's a 99% chance he doesn't work, but maybe he does.
The second he goes into the league, he's got a top five arm.
Yes, absolutely.
He can't do anything else.
It was with Tyree Jackson who was coming out of Buffalo as well, and then he switched positions. I don't think there's a ton of day three guys with a ton of upside. Devin Leary is somebody who has upside because – one, I think he has the physical traits that a lot of these guys on day three don't. Very good arm, just he's a physically talented quarterback. And we've seen him play at a pretty high level in college. In 2021, he was really good at NC State. He's not been able to replicate that success. I think a lot of it has been inconsistencies. And he's also had turnover issues. I think he had, 12 interceptions last year. That's definitely a concern as well. He's also going to turn 25 in September. So he's already on the older side of things. But in terms of guys with actual upside on day three, yeah, give me Devin Leary. I'd be happy with that. I don't think he falls this far, but if he does, if the last two picks are Caden Watson,
surprising. I feel like I haven't seen too many, how many 7-round mocks are there on the internet, but I feel like I haven't seen too many with Leary still around. I feel like a lot of them have him going undrafted.
I'm really interested, actually. I'm going to check the mock draft database and see where the consensus is in him. The consensus with him is 182. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a lie. That's the best ranking. consensus is 251. So you might be onto something here. Maybe I'm a little higher on him than I think others are. What about Caden Wallace? I feel like he's got to be higher.
Who?
Caden Wallace.
Oh, I think you said Kate Moss, like the actress.
Yeah, where's Kate Moss going to get
that? Man, she must have really – is she an offensive tackle now? I must have missed that. She got huge.
Caden Wallace overall rank is 168. So I think he'll probably go a little bit higher than where you had him, but you never know.
Kate Moss is a model. Excuse me. I forgot. But I mean, not here to besmirch Kate Moss. But
she's probably acting too. But yeah, anyway. I look, the last two picks are Caden Wallace and Devin Leary. I'm very happy with that. I honestly like that better than my last two picks. Although Manu is really fun. Maybe you can get him as an undrafted guy.
See, you admit defeat. Yeah, I had the better mock.
I just don't think they're going to be available. I'm being realistic. Like, you're going over. I mean, I also took a Dunze at 10, and you didn't think he'd be available. So we'll see, man. We'll see how it goes. Real quick, we'll give our recaps. So
yes,
my mock draft was first round, 10th overall, Roma Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington. Third round, Dominic Pooney, offensive lineman out of Kansas. Fourth round, Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane, and Muhammad Kamara, edge rusher out of Colorado State. Sixth round, Bo Brady, safety out of Maryland, and Dylan Lauby, running back out of New Hampshire. And in the seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant, the big man himself, Giovanni Manu, all 6'7", 353 pounds of him, offensive tackle out of British Columbia in Canada.
The big the absolute unit. Imagine just going through life being that big. Like the power you must feel.
I can't. It would also be like a detriment at points. Like,
yeah, but like nobody, you could do whatever you want. Poe's going to fight you. Nobody.
Imagine trying to go on like a roller coaster. Like, I don't know why that's the first thing that came to mind.
I'll take that trade off.
Or like taking public transportation.
You can cut whoever you want in line. What are they going to do? Be like, hey, buddy, you can't cut in front of me. And you just look at him and you go, okay, I'm sorry.
No shot he's fitting on the roller coaster. No way. Like, they can't go on a roller coaster.
I'll take that trade off for the power I get. So, fair. My mock draft has the Jets going Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia at number 10. Jaden Hicks, the safety from Washington State at number 72. Malik Washington, wide receiver from Virginia at number 111. Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, the guard at number 134. Isaiah Davis, a running back from South Dakota State at 185. Caden Wallace, a tackle from Penn State at 203. And Devin Leary, a quarterback from Kentucky, Mr. Irrelevant at 257. I'm excited for tomorrow night.
I'm too, man. Let us know in the replies, in the comments, whatever, who has the better mock. I definitely want to see who people are thinking, who people are rocking with here.
It's
the one that got them Roman Dunze. You know, I think it's the guy who got the
Roman. I don't know. I mean, he admitted he liked some of my picks better. I don't know.
I like the sixth and seventh round pick better, and it's only because I don't think
that's all the validation I need.
Dude, it's going to be a really, really exciting draft. I don't know. We've talked about maybe doing a stream at some point. Nothing confirmed on that. The best way to keep up to date, if we do any kind of stream at any point, you know, maybe Friday before day two, something like that, turn on notifications, subscribe, like, this is genuinely like, this is the way to do it. Subscribe, turn on notifications, follow us on socials, because I'll be tweeting about it for sure if we're going to do any kind of live streams. You know, we're not probably not going to do it during the draft, but it would be something where maybe, you know, on Friday, maybe we recap day one and talk about a preview of day two, day three. I don't know. Mike and I will talk about it. We'll see what our schedules are looking like, but I'm very excited, Mike. It's going to be a wild few days, as it always is in draft season.
It is going to be. Justin, you can feel free to sign us off here, because as always, thank you for tuning into the Jet Press. You know, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you are, that's where we are. YouTube, the Jet Press. Subscribe, like.
Yep.
Justin, feel free to round this up.
Last little plug. I mentioned it at the top of the stream, but we have some interviews that have gone out with draft prospects. We have a couple up here on the Jet Press YouTube channel already with Donovan Jennings, USF offensive lineman, and Evandi Rigby, linebacker from Temple. Another one coming up with a guy from my alma mater, Cole Burgess, wide receiver at SUNY Cortland. Shout out national champs of D3. Mike and I also have some that have gone up on the Stack in the Box YouTube channel. I did one with Chris Jenkins, the son of Jets legend Chris Jenkins. Awesome dude. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done. Michael Hall, Ohio State's up there. AJ Barner, tight end from Michigan. Mike's done one with Roman Wilson, wide receiver from Michigan. Zach Frazier, center from West Virginia. There's a lot of really cool stuff out there. So definitely check out those interviews on the Stacking the Box YouTube channel. And of course, check out the ones that we already have up here on the Jet Press YouTube channel. But until next time, possibly next week or possibly within the next couple of days, we'll see. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter at @ByMikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Freed. Follow the Jet Press at the Jet Press. Of course, that's how you can keep up to date with any kind of surprise streams that we might be doing. Download the Jet Press podcast wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube and TikTok for however long that might be around for. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell.
Yeah, get it while the going's good, man.
Get it while you still can. Look, as a YouTube Shorts guy myself, because I'm a degenerate, I'm not particularly, this doesn't affect my life very much.
Why does that make you a degenerate? It's YouTube Shorts.
I feel like people who watch YouTube Shorts, there's like an agenda against them. I don't know. It's better than Facebook Reels.
What are you talking about?
I've gotten shit in my life. I've gotten shit from people. That's not my opinion. People have said this to me. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. If there are YouTube Shorts.
Look at this guy watching YouTube videos. Who do you hang out with?
Because I don't use TikTok. So it's like people that are like, anyway. All right,
okay. It's like they make fun of you for not using TikTok.
Yes. You understand now.
That still doesn't make any sense, but okay.
If you're a fellow YouTube Shorts degenerate, let me know in chat. I would love to know. That's you're a good person. Good for you. Anyway, we stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you all for listening to Jet Press Podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. We'll see you guys next time. Let's go Jets, man. Let's see what they do in the draft.
Let's see who the newest members of the Jets are going to end up being.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.